When the COVID-19 pandemic hit humanity in late 2019, we suddenly realized that the systems that hold us together are fragile. Our understanding of what is essential has changed dramatically, and we've had to find new ways to work, study, and create. To be together while apart, take care of ourselves and others, and find ways to build a similar but different world. In this third season of Modcast, we explore these cultural, economic, and personal challenges and ask how we can learn from this disruption to better frame the future. Welcome to Life Interrupted. When our worlds are confined to the rooms of our homes and we are connected primarily through the internet, many of us turn to the arts for distraction, entertainment, and solace. Meanwhile, venues stand empty, galleries are closed, rehearsal spaces are quiet, and tours shut down as artists collectively face the great unknown. But after some time to reflect, new ways have emerged to bring the arts to the people and ensure the creators among us have ways to share their work. I'm Nina Phillips, and in this episode of Life Interrupted, we will be diving into the impact of the coronavirus pandemic on culture and creativity, and the role technology plays in enabling innovation in a time of crisis.
For the performing arts, it's been quite difficult, especially for a medium like the one that I work in, where we require often large orchestras and choruses and lots of people to be together in a space. That has become practically impossible. Then the other side of it, which I've seen, is speaking to all my friends who are composers or visual artists who are able to work more solo. Those people are, in some ways, can be unchanged and are having great moments of creativity.
Lucas van Lierop is a Dutch-Canadian opera singer with the Dutch National Opera. COVID-19 has changed the way he works, rehearses, and performs in a number of surprising ways.
We went into lockdown on March 13th in Holland. The 13th was supposed to be opening night of a new opera we were doing called Ritratto by a Dutch composer named Willem Jets. On the 12th, it became clear that we wouldn't be having that premiere. But on the 12th, we had our dress rehearsal. And so management was pretty proactive and was able to get a video team together, and we recorded it. And we had our premiere on YouTube. Right now, I think there's more than 60,000 people who have seen it. It would have been 5 nights of, I think, around 800 people or something, had we had a regular run. So suddenly it's exposing this art form to like so many more people.
And this digital engagement is reaching a new audience. While the vast majority of people who attend opera performances are of the older generation, most of the online engagement of the DNO's YouTube premiere has been from younger people who are seeking something new. In some ways, COVID-19 has provided time and opportunity for artists and organisations to discover new pathways of engagement.
I think it's one of those things where we're seeing a real leap forward in terms of the way people are using digital technology within the arts, partly because we've been forced to innovate in this space at this time. Obviously, it's an industry that's being really hard hit by the fact that people can't gather in groups. What we are seeing, though, is a lot of great creative product that's being shared by the internet, particularly through things like social media.
Jennifer Strokes is a senior lecturer at the University of South Australia who coordinates courses in future ideas and digital literacy and guest lectures in creative industries. She says information sharing by convergent devices has opened up a whole new world of opportunity.
That's probably one of those silver linings, is that people are now connecting with things in ways that they wouldn't have previously. So for example, last weekend on Friday night, I went to a quiz night with a group of friends online, which we did via Twitch. Then I went to see a friend DJ in Melbourne. That was via a Zoom session,
of course, I think. As fun as that sounds, the arts industry has suffered a significant economic hit. As the CEO of Sala, a South Australian visual arts festival, Kate Mosca has witnessed the financial hardship of artists firsthand.
In terms of government funding around the arts, it's been in a bad situation for a number of years, but there have been really positive responses on a local and national level to emergency funding around the COVID-19 situation. So we have seen really great grants and opportunities coming out of state and federal and even the private sector, like the philanthropic sector, some for projects and some just for survival. On a larger scale, the arts are still fighting to prove their worth and prove their value, and that's something that has been an issue for a very long time, and I'm not sure if the current situation has shed any light or improved that situation, unfortunately.
Arts and culture in Australia employs around 400,000 workers and represents $112 billion of economic activity. Yet funding for this sector is cut by millions of dollars each year, making it incredibly difficult for smaller and independent creative groups to thrive. But Jennifer Strokes believes digital technology can provide solutions for funding issues.
If they're doing an online performance, then they might ask people to pay a nominal amount to then access the link. Other things, like people are showing more of a commitment to buying merchandise to support artists as well. Some people are just putting out creative works for the sake of it because they're lovely people and they want to kind of share that joy and happiness in those productions, and people are looking for ways, I think, to sort of pay that back and to pay it forward.
Kate Mosca says COVID-19 has forced a rethink of how exhibitions are experienced. Festivals such as Sala are enabling artists to showcase their art both online and by adhering to social distancing measures.
We had to opt for a model that was going to be flexible because no one could tell us when restrictions would lift or when people would be comfortable mixing in groups. And so we had to go with a flexible model that would adapt depending on what government restrictions looked like and what people's behaviour looked like several months in the future. So the first thing that we changed was what sort of registrations we would accept. We thought we would only accept registrations from people that were either going to be exhibiting online, so a lot of digital content, or anything in the physical world that could adhere to those restrictions. So people putting things up in their front windows or along their front fences, or if businesses or councils were aware of empty spaces on their main streets.
The Sala 2020 program will also be entirely online, searchable via their website and through an app. Should a second wave of the pandemic hit, this largely online format will ensure programs can be switched on and off with ease. It has also enabled the festival to operate with more social inclusion, a positive result they intend to continue to strive towards in future.
A lot of our public programs and things will be available online and therefore accessible regardless of where you live. So it'll be easier for us to deliver things like information sessions in the future to regional artists or people who might have disabilities that prevent them from coming into our offices or somewhere for us to be holding events.
Accessibility has been an issue within the arts for a long time. But with many art galleries and museums around the world closed to the public for the foreseeable future, access, regardless of where you are or who you are, is crucial for the survival of this industry. From virtual tours, galleries with 360-degree imagery, to archives of high-quality stage performances, people can experience almost any art form from the comfort of their couch. However, this begs the question, in a post-COVID world, will people be less inclined to attend live performances?
When the Met started doing their live and HD broadcasts years ago, people were saying, oh, well, this may actually harm the arts more than it aids the arts. Because, for example, if somebody in Vancouver, my hometown, has the ability to go see the Metropolitan Opera, which is world class, and sit in a movie theater and eat popcorn, why would they ever go to the Vancouver Opera?
In Australia, over the past decade, engagement with the arts has increased by 30%. Live shows are an experience like no other, where audiences are immersed within the performance.
Bringing people together live to tell a story through music is something that is both at the same time as old as humanity, but also so incredibly necessary.
But it can't be denied that performance is changing. More people are online than ever before, and it is necessary for live performance and the delivery of art more broadly to also adapt in order to remain relevant. Kate Mosca says this new thinking is also driving people to different forms of creativity.
People are experimenting more with the mixing up genres and art forms. Someone might have in their mind what they think an exhibition looks like. You know, you're in a physical space like a cafe or a restaurant or a small gallery. You've got work on the walls. Because that's already in your head as the concept of what it should be, that's what you end up doing. But because this year things are different, people don't have those same expectations. They're trying to invent something new, and that's great. And so we're seeing people creating musical accompaniments to their work. So they're doing an online exhibition, but they've also got this soundtrack that they're using because maybe when they look at websites, they listen to music. And so they're putting these ideas together that maybe they wouldn't have done.
Incorporating technology into established mediums is not a new idea. Thinking beyond adherence to creative restrictions imposed by COVID-19, it is important to consider the future of technology within the arts. In this way, fantasy plots featuring dragons and other mythical creatures could be brought to life. Virtual reality has already been used in dance performances and visual arts installations around the world. The possibilities with this technology are limitless. Jennifer Stroke says creative innovation of this nature are not exclusive to those who are artists by trade either.
So we're getting a bit of a split between different types of creativity that's occurring. Some of it is people in isolation who are just really getting bored, and then they're using that as a time to kind of pick up a creative pursuit that they've wanted to follow up or to create something they now have the time to create and the moments to think on and reflect.
In essence, art is what connects us and guides us during times of societal difficulty. Whether it's by engaging in it online or utilizing digital technology to create your own, it is clear that technological innovation has played a significant role in shaping human creativity during COVID-19 and will continue to influence the future of art moving forwards.
Do we want to go back to normal or do we want a new normal? So the way that we're reaching out now more, the way that we're connecting with local communities, don't we want to keep that aspect? So once we're back out of lockdown and we're out and engaging more with people we would have in the workplace and around the world, surely we still want to retain those positives. And I think we're going to be better at using the digital tools. We're going to be better at connecting globally through them. And we're going to have some new creative outputs and innovation that we see from this time that we're going to want to hold on to and retain as part of a better worldview post-COVID.
Life Interrupted, Creativity and Culture is one of 6 episodes in Modcast Season 3. Today's episode was produced by me, Nina Phillips. The series' senior producer is Sarah Martin from Radio Adelaide Podcast Works. Thanks to Lucas Van Lierop, Jennifer Strokes and Kate Mosca for their insights in this episode. Thanks also to Deanna Newchurch, Lisa Bailey and Kia Buckskin James for additional series support and resources. Our theme music for this series is Alum by South Australian artist Jazook. Other sound elements throughout the series were created by Tristan Louth Robbins. Modcast Series 3, Life Interrupted, is presented by Mod at the University of South Australia and is linked to an online exhibition which you can find at mod.org.au.